I'm not going to speculate on what he wants or doesn't want, but, you know, Adrian's under contract for 3 more years with us. You know, that's why you sign these contracts, why you get these big bonuses, you know? But, yeah, we are planning on him being there. We have no plans to trade Adrian Miller.
Well, if you think we're getting him back, you think we're not trading him, you got another thing coming.
Because people like to say salsa.
I like to say salsa.
If you have a telescope, Uranus is visible too.
Tell me about it. Here, have a telescope and check mine out.
I'll pass. Thank you.
I'm sick and tired of talking about Adrian Peterson, but let's talk about Adrian Peterson.
No, let's not necessarily talk about Adrian Peterson. Let's talk about how far the Minnesota Vikings can actually go with Adrian Peterson as their running back, or where you see them without Adrian Peterson.
Okay.
But he'll be back. I mean, he's going to be back with the Minnesota Vikings.
Well, that's the card they're playing.
He's going to be back. There's no way he's going to eat $12.75 million. And if he doesn't play for the Vikings this year, he likely won't play for the Vikings the next 2 years, which he's under contract for 3 more years with the Vikings, so he'll likely have to retire, which is something I don't think that he's really that interested in. I know he's threatened it before.
How about the stupidity of him going on record saying he was just going to quit and go into the Olympics?
Oh, he's a bitch.
He trained for the Olympics.
And then at the same time, we were talking about this a little bit yesterday, and you and I have talked about this a lot as well. There's no way Adrian Peterson's going to be not on the Minnesota Vikings unless they get some unbelievable trade package. So there's either going to be a great trade package, which I don't think anybody's going to offer, or Adrian Peterson's going to be back with the Minnesota Vikings. But so there are 16 games in an NFL regular season.
What?
I don't know if you know that or not.
Where'd that come from? Where'd you get that 16th game from?
Are you serious? Of course, at home at TCF Bank Stadium, they play Chicago, Detroit, Green Bay, St. Louis, Seattle, Kansas City, San Diego, and the New York Giants. On the road, obviously, we play Chicago, Detroit, Green Bay, then Arizona, San Francisco, Denver, Oakland, Atlanta. How many games do you see us winning with Adrian Peterson or without? 651-989-9105. Do you think he makes that big of a difference? Obviously, missing almost a full year in the NFL season. Do you think it makes a difference by the fact that Adrian Peterson is not going to be as good because he hasn't seen action, or he's going to be even better because he's hungry?
That's a good question. We were 7-9 last year, so I mean, the one thing you want to say is, can he stay out there on the field and be healthy? That's the first thing you want to say. If you're talking about a running back that was coming back from surgery, who's also 30 years of age by that time, I think that we'll split with the division. I think we will. I would say that that's a pretty tough schedule the way it's lined up with the West. I like our chances to win 10 games. If he takes the field and it's him, I like our chances to win 10. I think Teddy's going to be better. I like some of the different things we've added already. Mike Wallace brings a different dimension to our offense. Kyle Rudolph hopefully can stay healthy. We can get these offensive linemen back. I like it. I mean, what's not to like? I like 10 games anyway if he can stay healthy, and that's how you have to look at it.
I was surprised that the Vikings won 7 games last year with all the injuries, the Adrian Peterson scenario.
Sure, won one or two more even with that bunch.
At least, plus with the rookie quarterback situation. So going through this, with Adrian Peterson, you still think we split in the NFC North?
Yeah.
Without Adrian Peterson, do we still split in the NFC North?
No, did you say that? No, I don't think that'd be pretty tough to split without him. But although we were very close, even with Green Bay this year of splitting, surely you should have had one or two in the division. I think we should have gotten Green Bay the second time, but you never know. That's awfully good. It's awfully hard to take them out twice. I definitely think we can take both from Chicago, but I say at least we split.
So 10 wins with Adrian Peterson. How many wins if the Vikings don't have Adrian Peterson?
Well, if they don't have him, then I know that they will have made moves to replace him, hopefully. And I think that I know what they would be trying to do. Obviously, he's getting one of those kind of guys.
One of what kind of guys?
A stud horse. I mean, I'm talking about a real deal running back. You have to replace it.
Who's out there to be had and who could be traded? And
it's in the draft.
Who's in there? Who's in the draft that you'd be interested in that could be that real, what did you call him? A workhorse?
A stud horse.
Stud horse.
A stud horse. I think you go with our guy from Wisconsin, Gordon.
Melvin Gordon.
I think he's fantastic. I think he would fit our style of game plan.
You're willing to take him at number 11?
No.
Well, he's going to go in the first round, likely.
I'm sure he would. That's the best running back I could see putting anything, putting that kind of commitment level to.
But what about who looks an awful lot?
But the knee, I don't know. And the ACL hurt. It makes me worry.
Looks an awful lot like Adrian Peterson when he comes to running the football, though.
He sure does. He might be the better of the two. But I don't like the ACL thing.
Willis McGahee came into the NFL with, I want to say, two ACL tears, and he had a pretty decent career.
Yeah, he had a bad one, but it was so late in the season. It was in their bowl game with Miami, and somehow he prevailed. He came back. He was like an Adrian Peterson healing kind of guy. It was instant, and he was drafted number one by the Bills by my old quarterback, Greg Williams, also in charge of Bounty Gate. But he was the head coach of the Bills at the time, and he took... McGahee.
And he had a pretty good career. I mean, he played, wasn't last year, the year before, when the Cleveland Browns ended up trading Trent Richardson to the Indianapolis Colts for a first-round draft pick. They brought back Willis McGahee.
Yeah. So, I think he did that once with Denver, too.
So with Matt Asiata and Jerick McKinnon already in the fold, and Todd Gurley saying that he will be ready come regular season, probably even training camp, why not go with Todd Gurley? If your medical staff says, you know what, yeah, he did have
not
an ACL.
Not 11, though, right? Not 11.
I don't think so.
Not with an ACL.
What, so
I mean,
what, you trade
round.
Back? If you're Rick Spielman who likes to trade and move up and
you
down.
You want
to
play with your
stuff.
Drafts and trade up into a higher position to get him? Maybe. Maybe. But that's an ACL, MCL, I think. It's a little more than just an ACL. I mean, there's a lot to go on there. With a running back and an ACL... That's a big risk. That's a big risk. And I know Adrian was injured a little bit coming out of Oklahoma, and some people passed on him, and he kind of slid down to us.
At number 7.
6 or 7, yeah. I think it was. But and of course, he's Adrian Peterson today.
What if Todd Gurley is Todd Gurley?
He's a good player. He's a great player. I mean, can he bounce back from this ACL? That's the question. I mean, he's the kind of guy you want back there in the running, in the backfield. But Gordon, I agree. I think he's going to go first round. 11, way too high for him.
I don't know.
Way too high for any running back this year.
Gordon might be there in the second round, but I don't know if he'll still be there when we pick
round. I don't think so. But that would be worth it.
But if you trade Adrian Peterson, likely the chances are that you'll probably be getting another first-round draft pick or ammunition to move up, whether it be, because we went through a couple of scenarios, whether it be a second, third, fourth, and seventh-round pick or two first-round draft picks or whatever it may be, but you'll at least get some ammunition to move up and go get your guy if that's what the Vikings do end up deciding to part ways with Adrian Peterson.
Agreed. But he's going to have to be replaced, and what you have to hope for is that they use that 11 as well as they possibly can. You cannot fumble the ball at number 11 in the draft. That has to be Trey Waynes. It has to be a big-time offensive lineman. The Sheriff, if that's what he goes by. But, those two guys handle the two biggest needs that I believe we have. And you got to know what the hell's going on by the time of the draft, too. I got to think that the Vikings can only really hang on if they're going to trade him until the draft. And they know what they're going to do. Obviously, it would be a blockbuster trade to be able to pull Adrian away.
Do you know anything about Eric Hendricks? Is it Eric Hendricks, the linebacker from UCLA?
I do.
What do you know about him?
Incredible.
Because I'm hearing,
great player.
I'm hearing a lot of things about the fact he might be a little bit undersized, but I'm hearing
he's a player
from our scouts and our resources that the Vikings might be in love with Mr. Hendricks from UCLA.
Absolutely. I remember him playing a couple times last year and following UCLA a little more after Barr came out of there. There was word about this guy coming out as well this season. I watched a couple of games, and he can play. And he is a little undersized, though. Great range, though. He can cover sideline to sideline. Great pass protection instinct.
He's 5'11", 231.
It's really on the small side. That height is what you need in the professional game. You need it in all sports. Arm reach, getting to a tip pass, in coverage. It's really important that you are long and lengthy. Short and stout, 5'11".
Dick Butkus Award winner last year. Lott Impact Trophy winner last year.
That's incredible. Those are huge awards. I mean, I've seen him play. I know he can play at the college level. He's not going to be like Barr, I don't think, because Barr has so much size. He's so big. When you see him in person, it's really an impressive thing. I saw him 4 or 5 times in training camp. Had a chance to talk with him in person 2 or 3 times, and he is very impressive, just his physical stature. This guy's a little small.
Yeah. We'll talk to Dane Brugler, our senior NFL draft analyst from CBS Sports Radio, coming up at Thursday, right around this time. There are movements happening in mock drafts. I told you earlier today, Trey Waynes, I've seen him as high as number 8, which means the Vikings won't have a chance at him at number 11 if he's already gone.
I think he'll gain ground on that even. By the time drafts, I see Trey Waynes being possibly top 5.
Well, he's that good.
Yeah.
So if Trey Waynes is gone, Amari Cooper is gone by the time the Minnesota Vikings select. Kevin White, the wide receiver, is gone. And you have to choose between Eric Kendricks, Lael Collins, the offensive tackle from LSU, Marcus Peters, cornerback, Washington, Brandon Sheriff, the guard from Iowa, Shaq Thompson, the linebacker, extraordinary, can play safety, linebacker from Washington, Randy Gregory from Nebraska, the pot smoker.
I mean, I've been told he is just outrageously good.
Yeah.
So talented.
Yeah.
They love him, too. It would be between
Landon Collins, the safety from Alabama, Todd Gurley, the running back from Georgia, all at number 11 now. If those top guys that I mentioned are gone, if you're Rick Spielman, do you trade back, get more assets, maybe get a second-tier guy, end up trading back into the first round, which we know he likes to do so often?
If he can find, he's a guy about value. He has a point system that he goes by. If he can weigh back into it using one or two players to trade up and find the value that exceeds what he gave up for that he's looking for, he'll do it in a heartbeat. He would do it in a heartbeat. But I think that of the different scenarios that you just gave me of choices, I think you have to, if Sheriff is there, Big Collins from the Bayou Bengals, LSU, they rave about him too. Collins from Alabama, the safety.
Mm-hmm.
Those would be my three. If those two receivers were gone, and if Trey Waynes was gone.
Devontae Parker would still be there. Not interested in Devontae Parker?
Absolutely, but I'm not as much so now because of Mike Wallace. I just don't know if receiver would be the way you'd want to use that 11th.
No, I completely agree. I didn't want to use a receiver. I don't want to go at 11th, even when we had Greg Jennings and no Mike Wallace. I didn't see the need there at that early. I mean, there are much bigger holes that we could use impact players, which first-rounders seem to be, especially under Rick Spielman in drafts.
You got to be able to have that protection for the quarterback. I don't care. You can't be pulling receivers in here if Teddy can't stand up and throw the ball. Come on back, everybody. It's our very own Jim Rich. He is the best in the business. Just ask him. He thinks he is. And I don't. That superstar thing is getting old. Come on back. It's Radioactive Sports.
Back to superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson on 105 The Ticket.
I've handled dozens of balls. I want to be.
Like to say salsa.
If you have a telescope, Uranus is visible too.
We've got a long ways to go. I mean, look at what we've done lately, and there's no reason why our group should not feel good and be confident. And I think that that's growing, and that's something that we got to continue to grow, and it's ongoing. But, you know, you can lose it as quickly as you can gain it, but we have it right now, and our guys, they're doing the job.
It's always a big pleasure for me to be able to invite someone like Jim Rich to the show, and everything's going so smoothly here. And then I look over here at Zach Wright, who's answering the doggone phones over here. That son of a bitch over there, he looked at me wrong. He looked at me the wrong way.
What do you mean?
I don't know what the deal is over there.
Poor guy. Zach Wright is
like... You don't look at me like that.
He's like the nicest guy possible next to Jim Rich. And so you're always starting fights with people like Jim Rich or Zach Wright, who couldn't possibly be any nicer. Why is that? I don't get it. Jim?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yes, Ben.
Jim, we've been talking.
He looked at me wrong. That's
it.
Why.
Shh. Don't make me turn off your microphone, Aaron Hicks of radio.
What? You're calling him the Aaron Hicks of radio?
I've been calling him that for a couple of weeks now.
Yes, but he's the Christian Ponder of radio, so that's okay. And also, I don't know. Jim, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
It's good to see that this has worked so well, putting you two together for 3 hours every afternoon. This is just working out smashingly.
Yeah.
I'm sure the bosses
really
are just on pins and needles waiting for the next jab.
Yeah, Brian just walked in here, our program director. He just walked in here and just gave us both a piece of his mind.
Yeah.
He's sick of us.
He said he's so sick of us, he might not even come in tomorrow. It's unbelievable. Jim, but earlier today we were talking about Baba Gadoosh. You know the newest Minnesota Viking? 6'9", 351 pounds. Baba Tunde Ayagbusi.
Yes.
What? And I haven't really seen a ton of stuff on your station, but every other station and in the paper, it seems like every day there's something they're covering about Baba Gadoosh, is what we call him. Ushki Bushki.
What well, we had them on Friday.
Okay.
We did all our stuff last. They're catching up to us.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
We had him on Friday. He came in studio. He's a very interesting specimen, I guess, is what we would call
That's a big kid.
But for a guy who's likely not to make the regular season squad, maybe the practice squad, maybe even being cut in training camp, I don't get the infatuation for Minneapolis media on Baba Gadooshki, I get the Badooshkis.
Well, it's just because of the physical dimensions of this human being. And you look at his YouTube clips, and it looks like Morris when I'm asking for, you know, a piece of candy. He's just throwing people aside left and right. I mean, he's ginormous. And think about this. If they figure out how to teach this guy how to play, and you get him for nothing, basically, I mean, it's a draft pick you didn't have to take. And so, and if it doesn't work out, none of the money's guaranteed. So you flush it downstream and you send them back to Poland. Who cares?
But Jim, you're so mean. You're so crass the way you said that.
But that's the way it's supposed to be. And Jim and Superstar, there was the same kind of thing that was happening with Tiny Richardson last year. How's Tiny Richardson doing? What did he do last year for the Vikings?
Absolutely nothing. They wired him up for sound during a preseason game. He didn't say a damn thing. I don't know. I don't know Tiny
Richardson. He had his tiny vocal cords, apparently. That's where the
You know, I was told he was actually a pretty good pickup from Tennessee. Did he go in the draft at all? He was picked up as a free agent, wasn't he?
Tiny? Yeah, undrafted free agent.
But this guy, I mean, what is the fascination, Jim? You've seen tons of players come through, big and small and strong and everything else. What is the appeal? Is it because he's Polish and he's from overseas and we found something over there that's kind of a diamond in the rough?
Well, look at you guys should know the answer to this. What kind of subject matter have the Wolves provided you to fill your shows with?
Yeah,
crap.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
How about Gopher basketball? Well, that went well. Gopher hockey. Oh, their season's over.
Yeah.
Twins. Oh, they get bombed 14-2 last night when he trotted out supposedly the everyday lineup. All righty then. Let's go back to the big Polish dude, see what happens here.
I saw him walk into the clinic up by, it's up just up from the Vikings. Well, actually now it's in Eden Prairie, or Edina. I'm so sorry. And it's where Sheldon is, and it's where all the Viking doctors are sort of based out of. And I saw him in there. I was actually in there. And the kid came walking out of one of the rooms, and he was escorted by Viking personnel. They had taken him up there apparently for a physical, and they were taking him back down to Winter Park. And I looked and I thought, I don't know if he's an athlete or not, but he has to play football. And I mean, the shoulders remind me of Dave Dixon, that kind of size, but even bigger. I can't believe I'm even saying this, but he's even like bigger than Dave Dixon. And because he's so much taller, I think Dave was 6'6", but this kid is 6'9". He's a monster. He really is.
Well, he's bigger than Phil Lodeholt by an inch and 10 pounds.
Yeah.
I mean, when you saw him come out of the room, did they have to use, like, the operating room doors, the double doors, because he can't fit through a normal door?
I mean, actually, they had cut a hole in the ceiling, and they had to lift him out of there with a crane. But it was incredible. The guy was so big, though. I mean, I hope he does well. I mean, I've seen the YouTube pieces. I'm not exactly impressed by any of the football stuff that you see of him on field because we know what that is. But his workouts are pretty fun to watch. I mean, because he's got some good feet. He's got good hands. And you can tell that he moves fluently. Even when he's blocking the really tiny, small people, he does get out there. And he runs in open space pretty well, to be honest with you.
But it must be super slow in the news section. I mean, we have a three-hour sports radio talk show every day, and so what's going on with the Twins? I mean, they're starting a regular season here on Monday. The Vikings, they don't have anything going on right now, so we got to find something to talk about. The Wild are off until Thursday, even though they're the hottest team in the NHL. Timberwolves got awful. Gophers not in the NCAA tournament. There's nothing to talk about, and that's why Baba Gadushki, I'm a Bagadushki, is all over the news. That's what I say.
Yes, I mean, there's only so much
you
can
say. It's great, though. I mean, if he even falls down on the line of scrimmage,
he'll kill someone.
2 seconds for somebody to run around him.
Or he'll fall on someone and just, you have to call an ambulance.
Right.
So it's just
so outlandish that's what I think everybody is infatuated with.
I do
they're
too.
Looking at this and they're just like, this is so ridiculous that this guy is this ginormous and no one had heard a word about him, and he just shows up at some free agent camp. He wanted to play college football, and they told him because you played pro, you're ineligible. And so his tape got shipped around, and he was able to show up at a pro day, and then all of a sudden, the Vikings were there, and why not? Put the money on the table. None of it's guaranteed. If it works out, great. If not, you know, it's no skin. But if you get yourself a huge offensive lineman, and, you know, Mike, you know this. If you get a good one, they last a decade. Yeah, and
absolutely.
Now you've paid nothing for this guy. And, you know, who knows? I mean, I think it's just everybody's infatuated with the size and, you know, he'd only be the fifth guy from Poland, and the other three were kickers. So, you know, it's just entertainment.
It is. It's really unique that he comes from Poland. And if they can even find shoulder pads for this guy, it's going to be amazing. He's there because Phil Lotold is the biggest thing I've ever seen in shoulder pads. I've never seen anyone bigger than that on the field. When you stand next to him in shoulder pads and a helmet, it is just ridiculous. It's like standing next to a skyscraper. But this kid runs really, really well. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to transfer over when he gets, you know, in practice down here, you know, with the guys in Mankato, if he makes it that far or not. But he's an impressive 350 pounds. I'll give him that. I had Chantrell Henderson with me, and he was 6'8", 350 down at Milo
Barba. Just a baby compared to Badushkis.
18 years old.
Jeez.
And he just kind of waltzed his way through school, not really even trying at Miami. And he finds himself with the Buffalo Bills starting at right tackle. Yeah. You're right, Jim. I mean, if you can teach them to use their hands and pass protect, they have that enormously long length, incredible length of arms. If they hook them out there and get them out there to dry, there's nothing a defensive lineman can do, really.
But aren't their feet more important than their hands?
It's important. You know what? If you have great hands, you can make up for it.
Okay.
You
so
really can't.
Hands
but
are more important than feet.
Well, if you have great hands, you can stop someone in their tracks. Sure. And you can actually recover your feet. It's better to have great feet because coming off the ball, and it looks like he can come off the ball, but they're tiny people that he's blocking, so you'll never know until he comes off against someone that's real deal.
Yeah, they come up to about his belly button in these videos that we've seen on YouTube, and half of them have fallen into his belly button. That's how big this guy is. Talking to Jim Rich, Fox 9. Jim, Wild hockey, they don't play until Thursday. Is there a chance? I mean, let's just say if the Wild lose the rest of their games, I believe they have 6 left, 3 at home, 3 on the road. If they lost all of the remaining games on the regular season schedule, there's still a pretty good chance that they could make the playoffs, don't you think?
The stat right now is 99.8% chance they're in. So, yeah, basically, they have to fall off the face of the earth, and the teams behind them all have to get hot to knock them out because there's more than one chasing them. Because if L.A. moves up, they'll take over a spot in the Pacific, one of those second or third spots over there, before they would come after the Wild and knock them out. So then you'd have to have Calgary, which is in a playoff spot, come up and chase them down as the Wild card. So it looks pretty rock solid for this club right now. You can almost say it's a lock at this point that they're going to make the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Jeez.
Love them.
And at the same time, we get Cook back right about now. Just when you need the thugs back and all the heavy hitters, yeah, I mean, you're going to get some help back for that playoff run. And as you said, it's a very good, likely chance that we'll be in.
I mean, for the L.A. Kings to make up 7 points in 6 games is unbelievable. Just watching the comeback that the Wild had to come back from after the All-Star break, it just seems unbelievable
to me. It's insane. Yeah, it's insane.
Right. You see how impossible it is to make up that ground because you go, oh, well, we got a dozen points and we only have to make up 7. But the Wild could lose in a shootout. Well, there's another point. You know, it's just so hard to gain ground on teams when you're close to them. And, you know, just like we were talking yesterday about the Blackhawks catching them, now all of a sudden they win last night, so they jump up 3 points ahead on the Wild, and they got, another game at hand still on the Wild. So, you know, it's a lot tougher to hop around than it has been. I mean, the rise the Wild made does not happen in the NHL every year. This is something that takes, you know, was a rare occurrence, what we just witnessed, winning 24-30 and going from 12th place in the NHL up into a wild card spot. And I think they have the fifth or sixth best record overall in the Western Conference. It's phenomenal what they've pulled off.
These last three games, the Minnesota Wild have announced that their fan celebration is now set for the final three regular season games on Thursday. The Wild take on playoff-bound the New York Rangers at 7. All fans will receive a scratch-and-win card upon entry. Prizes include jerseys, autographed memorabilia, Sun Country Airline vouchers, among many others. On Saturday, when the Wild hosts the Detroit Red Wings, it's jerseys off our backs night. Random fans will be selected to receive game-worn jerseys, delivered and autographed by players themselves in a special on-ice post-game ceremony. Then, for the final home game, all fans in attendance will receive a commemorative team poster. You guys excited?
I'm big on that. I'm up for the jersey thing too.
I go for the jersey night.
Well, it's the last game of the season.
The guy that you get didn't play a lot, so it's not like dripping wet.
Yeah.
There's a good chance that could happen. I want it washed. I want it laundered, and then he can sign it, and I'll take it. But
what I really thought they were going to come home with a bang here in the final game of the regular season, that all fans in attendance receiving a commemorative team poster, that kind of just blew me away, because that's, wow, I'm excited about that.
Wow.
What would you like?
You know what? You're a jackass.
How about a Stanley Cup playoff berth?
Boom.
That game against the Jets, they can wrap up a Stanley Cup playoff berth by beating the Jets. There is your prize
Fine.
For being in a
Bang.
Team.
Bang.
Fine.
Bang.
I'll take it.
There it is right there. Jim?
Man,
I don't know.
He's mad about us being interested in someone that could be one of the greatest Vikings of all time and doesn't think we should give it a second of our time. And now he's upset that he's going to get a poster when he goes to the Jets game.
I'm temperamental, and I apologize.
38 of the games, they gave you nothing. Now they're giving you something, and you're not happy with it.
I think I'd rather have nothing than a commemorative team poster.
Fine. Give the poster to the kid behind you in line.
Well, he's already going
to
have one.
Seat.
I'm going to give it to the guy that's walking down the street outside the XL Energy Center.
Well, if I don't get down there for poster night, give it to me. I'll take
fine.
It. Or I'll posterize you.
Perfect.
That'd be a lesson to you. I'll act like Andrew Wiggins.
James?
James, you're the best in the business, for the most part.
For the most part.
Yeah, I mean, it's sketchy. But you're close to being the best in the business.
I just want to be there. Just want to be there in the end, just like this NCAA pool. How does this work when I go from 1 to 30?
You threw that in there.
What is that?
Because you're god-awful.
What are you doing with Wichita State, Jicky Jack?
You're terrible.
That's why.
That.
You threw Jicky Jack Wichita State in.
You guys are working with the IT guys over there to move me around. I know you are.
No, the more you get wrong, the further into it you get, because these games down the stretch here are worth more points than the games
more
at the beginning.
That's right.
No, why?
And you sucked at it.
Don't ask why. Just
that?
Excel at what you do.
I have picked more right than you two. What was it? Pick the winners. That's what it was. So if I end up with more right selections than you, and you somehow pass me because of your tainted point scheme. This isn't fair.
You know, I hate the fact that you don't realize and understand what the odds are of picking maybe two or three of the teams that make the Final Four. How incredibly against the odds that is of selecting, say, two such as myself that have made the Final Four.
I also there too, and I still fell to 30th.
Jim is just upset because of the bet that you made last week, and you said it, but you kind of got all three of us into it, that the loser between us three, whoever has the lowest points, has to buy steak and lobster dinners for the rest of the folks.
Now I'm all nervous.
Yeah, you should be.
Now look what you got going on.
I was nervous too at the same time, because at that time I was below you, Jim Rich, but then I looked at the superstar and we have the same Final Four team, so he's behind me right now. There's no way that he can beat me, so I'm scot-free. It's not going to be me.
It sure is going to be fun, though, when I get in there with Kentucky and Duke and then get the Kentucky game right, and they win their national champions. And, Jim? I eat a lot of food, man. I mean, bring your wallet.
Four games right.
It doesn't matter, Jim.
I can't afford to feed you.
Look,
I might as well go.
You work in TV. We work in radio.
What part of this don't you understand?
Here, Let's change the bet right now. I'll put my paycheck against your paychecks. Whatever 105 the ticket pays me, I'll put that on the table, and then you guys put your 105 the ticket checks on the
it's
table.
It's very similar, Jim.
Well, very I'll put the Fox 9 pays me.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So I'll give you your Fox 9 check versus my 105 the ticket check.
Okay, that's a safe bet. I'll bet you. I'll take that one any day. Jim Rich, thank you for your time.
See you, boys.
All Talk right. to you tomorrow, James.
Off
thank
he
you.
Goes. Next up, Hardball. Ooh, look out. You thought that guy was a tough customer. Not compared to this guy. Hell, it's Mike Berardino with Hardball. Look out, team heads. Here we go. Next.
Here for the Minnesota Twins today.
Time to oil up the mitts. It's Hardball with Mike Berardino.
A lot of information in the head of his, so I'm willing to learn it.
Definitely excited to have him, lead the way.
Get your seam head talk right now on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Escobar lifts one high and deep to right, and Flores watches it go. Escobar, who nearly hit a home run in the third inning and then did hit a double, sends the first Tanaka pitch into the seats, and it's 3-1.
Yes, and for Escobar, his fourth home run here, hit this spring. Jumped on that first pitch.
Go ahead and jump on that first pitch.
Eduardo Escobar, fourth home run of the season. Let's bat him number fourth. Four overall, the cleanup spot. Talking to Mike Berardino, Hardball, brought to you by Nature's Fury Energy Drink. Nature's Fury NutriDrink vitamins have never tasted this refreshing.
I don't know what you're going to do with Dozier.
Dozier?
That new guy we just signed, that Dozier guy, that new contract. I mean, he's the big home run hitter, isn't he?
Who's Dozier?
Or maybe Dozier.
Oh, Dozier.
Oh, Dozier. Dozier. I don't know. I mean, I'm getting it. I'm starting to get this. Mike Berardino, how are you, sir?
I'm fine. You had me a little confused as well there. What did I miss?
Sorry.
Dozier.
I thought it was Brian Dozier. I don't know. I'm sorry. It's my bad. Look, I apologize if I'm becoming an issue for you, too.
Oh, you've been an issue for us a long time ago.
Shut up.
Twins cut down the roster, Mike Berardino, 29 today after demoting left-handed reliever Aaron Thompson. He looked like he had a pretty decent spring, I want to say. He had a September call-up last year, too, 2.45 ERA in seven appearances. This spring, he allowed two earned runs, 8 1/3 innings with 6 strikeouts, 2 walks, but couldn't beat out Brian Dunsing and Caleb Fielbar for that left-handed specialist spot in the bullpen, and those guys got rocked last night in a night game against the Boston Red Sox. So explain to me why reliever Aaron Thompson got sent down and the other two guys get to stay.
Well, it's a fair question, especially off of one game. But the Dunsing had a pretty good spring overall, and that's what Paul Molitor said last night when I asked him how concerned he was after seeing his primary situational left-hander give up 7 straight hits against the Red Sox. And they were not cheap hits. You know, they were ringing hits off the wall and a broken bad home run, actually, by Napoli. But, there's a balk thrown in. There's a wild pitch. But he was willing, Mulder was willing to just sweep that aside and go on the fact that this guy's quite a known quantity to the Twins. And this was a deadline day of sorts for him, too, because when you get an arbitration-fed salary, the way the Twins do it, they do not guarantee those out of the chute. They let you go to spring training and see what you have. Some teams guarantee them out of arbitration, but Dunsing could have been cut today at a savings of about $2 million. So I don't know if that was weighing on his mind at all. He had cleared out of there before I got in, and obviously I'm off today. But he pitched as though he were concerned about it, but Molitor made sure afterwards that it was not an issue, and that's what the Aaron Thompson demotion certainly proved.
Mike, how do you grade this out? The spring training so far, and what Molitor's done up to this point, the pitching staff. And the pitching coach, for that matter. Where do you put this in your years past in the way they're coming out of this and heading into their regular season?
Well, they had a very healthy spring. I mean, I don't know how much of that's just luck mostly. But, they had to handle a lot of pitching decisions. And they were asking, in terms of Neil Allen, he was asking these guys to throw more changeups than they might be comfortable with. Not that that's an injury-causing pitch. It's actually stress-free for the most part, but something out of their wheelhouse, and he's going to ask guys here in the last week, the relief crew, to pitch on back-to-back days going into the season. Some teams do that, some teams don't. The Twins historically have not.
under Rick Anderson leading into the season. Glenn Perkins didn't think he'd ever done it as a reliever, but he's doing it this week. He was supposed to pitch back-to-back today and Wednesday, and they hope to do that with everybody except probably Pelfrey, since he's so new to the bullpen thing. And in terms of Molitor, I mean, open-minded is a phrase you hear Molitor utter a lot. He's open-minded about strategy things. He's open-minded about individual players. He's willing to have his mind changed. I don't think they intended going into spring training to have Shane Robinson in this mix on his 25-man roster, but it sure looks like that's what will happen because he came through. He showed them the skill set that they wanted. It's just too bad he's not a lefty killer, because if he were, it'd just be about a perfect match.
Yeah, no kidding. We have to cut down, or the Twins have to cut down four more players by Sunday. We'll talk more in depth with you about that. Mike Berardino from the Pioneer Press and TwinCities.com. Hardball with Mike Berardino, brought to you by Nature's Fury NutriDrink. Vitamins have never tasted this good. Enjoy your time on the golf course this afternoon. We'll talk to you on Thursday, and enjoy the sunshine. Before you know it, you'll be back in Detroit, Rock City, USA. It'll probably be a little chilly. Opening day starts Monday. We can't wait for baseball. I bought my MLB The Show for my PlayStation 4 this morning. I'm going to get back and hit on the sticks just so I know all the guys and the AAA and the AA and all these players on all these different teams. But baseball, here we come. I'm excited, Mike. Thank you for talking to us today.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys. See you.
He didn't say one word about Dozier. Not one word.
Because nothing's going on with Dozier. I don't know. He's French. Brian Dozier.
He's from Paris.
Remember DJ Dozier?
Oh, yeah.
God, I love that guy.
I don't know. No, Penn State. Right?
Yeah.
I was thinking of Mike Rozier from Nebraska.
DJ Dozier, I want to say he was from Penn State, too, wasn't he?
No, he was. I think he was. I'm sure he was.
I love
heck
DJ
of a player,
Dozier.
Though. Yeah, he was a great player. Wasn't he? No, he wasn't.
He was terrible.
Wasn't. No, he was horrible.
He should have been so good. Yeah, he played in Penn State. The 14th overall draft pick, round one, 1987, for your Minnesota Vikings. God, I loved him.
Yeah, don't do that again. Do not pick another guy like that.
I loved him.
Or Demetrius Underwood. Ooh. We come back. We can talk about the brackets. You want to talk? It's my segment. I have some AC/DC coming back because it's Angus Young's 60th birthday today. He hit the big 60.
Looks much older than 60. There was a study done about cats and music and their stress levels and their the pupils dilating and all this stuff. When cats listen to AC/DC, they do not get happy. They're not happy. They're completely stressed out. They listen to some like jazz and stuff, and they're quiet and they're happy and they're cute.
So here's AC/DC. What I would propose. I would say,
since you don't like cats, you should leave AC/DC on.
Blare your music, everybody. Blare your music, AC/DC music at that. We can drive all the cats crazy. They'd be stray cats. Another good band. Come on back, and we will talk the talk and get into some bracketology, I think. This Brad Johnson thing is driving me crazy. I'm a little like Jim Rich. I don't know why it kind of stacks up the way it does.
Because you're not very good at it.
Shut up. Come on back.
Radioactive Sports in the Afternoon on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Cats hate it.
A new study from the University of Lisbon in Portugal found that the music you play affects your cats. It can make them stress out or have health problems. When the researchers played Thunderstruck by AC/DC, the cats showed the most signs of stress, like fast breathing, dilated pupils, and the opposite effect happened when they played a nice piece of classical music like Adagio for Strings by Samuel Barber. Completely calmed them down. They say it could be useful knowledge for vets who want to calm cats down during surgery or for people who have new cats with behavior problems. Don't all cats have behavior problems?
Every one of them. You ever seen that TV series? Cat from Hell? The guy that goes in there basically has...
Is that the guy with the pink Cadillac?
I think he does. And he's got the chops. He's got the big chops.
I love that guy.
He's a musician. He has a guitar, too. He plays gigs.
Uh-huh.
And he apparently knows cats. He tries to help them out. Yeah. I say go in there, turn on the AC/DC, and get rid of all of them. I hate cats. Well, it's not so much that. I think it's more so that cats hate me. I think it's more that.
Because people like to say salsa.
I bought some extra chunky salsa today. Medium.
You know what happens if you eat salsa? and you have too much to drink and you puke it up, it comes back looking like salsa.
Yeah, but better.
It's not good. That's why I can't eat that anymore, because back in the day, on the tire swings, my cousin Adi, we'd eaten a whole bunch of tomato-y type things. He vomited, and there was salsa all over me. It wasn't salsa, though. It was puke. I just can't do chunks of tomatoes anymore. Oh. Stewed tomatoes, those should be against the law. That's disgusting. It looks like a placenta. Because people like to say placenta.
I mean, but as long as you don't puke, I mean, you're safe, right?
I guess.
And the way I see it is, if you puke up a little picante, a little salsa.
Because people like to say salsa.
It's just warm. You can dip again. And use it. You can eat it again, right?
No. Yes.
I would just think that warmed up, it might be better.
New York City.
Hey, New York City. What about these picks, man? I don't know what's happening, but if you look, I'm going to show you diagram happening. A.
You're terrible.
Look at the left side of my brackets and the right side.
Yeah.
You'll notice that the left side is green and the right side is red. How much did I screw up when it came to the East and the South?
That's not good.
Not good at all.
Although you still have Kentucky and Duke in the championship game, which would be a dream championship game for me, and I think that that's probably what's going to happen now.
Because you're two guys that you don't want to name, because we want either one of them.
DU should not be named number one, and DU should not be named number two. We'll talk about those guys coming up at 6:12. Who should the Minnesota Timberwolves draft if they have the possibility of doing that? I'm calling them DU shall not be named number one.
You don't want to jinx us. You don't want to jinx us, do you?
I'm calling him Joe from Duke. DU shall not be named number two. I'm calling him Cat from Kentucky.
I'm looking you up right now.
Don't look at me.
I want you to... No, I don't want to look at you. I'm looking your name up. Here's the deal. It appears as if, though, you've fallen off the pace. You're at 39. You're horrible.
Yeah.
Then
we
there
we
comes,
don't talk about that anymore.
Then, I should also inform you that the one that we wish we didn't have to name at all in front of you, Bob Sansevier, is 29.
Mm. He's only 1 point ahead of me, though, I believe.
Well, we can check that. Yeah, he stands at 83, and young Holson, I'm sorry, at 80.
Oh.
You're getting your ass kicked.
That's not good.
And then, just when you thought it was okay.
I'm beating him at 105theticket.com, though. I'm beating him in that one.
You filled out a different bracket, then.
He did.
Ah! Serves him.
On this Vike Fans bracket, VikeFans.com, our good friends that do the bracket with Brad Johnson. They have a podcast. They're great people.
They are good.
Love them to death. Want to marry them.
I do, too. I have a proposal in right now. I haven't heard anything back.
But Bob Sansevier, I want to say, picked Michigan State to win on that bracket and didn't pick Michigan State to win or go this far.
Well, that would have put him right
to 105theticket.com.
Quite high. It would have put him right up there, wouldn't it? If he'd picked Michigan State, Leroy Horde.
That's why he's doing better, I want to say, in that bracket than he is on 105theticket.com.
Did you see Leroy Horde? He got all four in the final four.
Hmm.
Bastard.
Look at him. Is he in first place now?
No, but he came way up because of the last couple rounds, Leroy Horde. If you ask him, how's it go again? You need four, he'll get you three?
Yeah.
You need three, he'll get you three? I don't know how it goes. Horde is sitting pretty good. He's in third place, though.
You need 2 yards, he'll get you three. Ooh. You need 4 yards, he'll get you three.
He's tied with Chuck Foreman for third. Brad Johnson following him right away.
Brad Johnson was talking a lot of smack over the weekend.
And rightfully so.
And Vike fans tweeted it out and with the audio clip of Brad Johnson shooting free throws, going, look at me, I'm hot dogging it.
A little
didn't
smack.
Work out very well.
By the way, the leader in that, Sue Atkinson.
Oh, good old Sue Atkinson.
Got a gal in there just leading the way.
That's who always wins it. We talked to Brandon Lang. We talked to anybody involved in the NCAA March Madness bracket, and they say the one that's going to win it is the one that knows nothing about it.
Sue Atkinson.
I'm not saying Sue Atkinson doesn't know anything about it, but
I'd say if you look at her bracket, she knows a lot about everything.
Oh, my God.
It's imposing. I mean, she's gotten most of the games right.
I just want to be smart for once in my life.
Of all the games, she's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. She's only missed 11 games total.
I could really use a drink right about now.
What do you want me to pour you?
I'll have some water.
Water?
I'm on a diet.
Yeah, I was hoping that maybe I could set you up with something that would warm your gizzard up a little bit. Was that salsa?
Yes.
Because people like to say salsa.
If you have a telescope, Uranus is visible, too.
Give me that telescope.
You need serious professional help.
Look, I've needed it for a long time. I have been seeking professional help for a long time. I found it. It does me no good.
I've handled dozens of balls.
Yeah, Bill. We know that. I wonder how many balls you've handled lately.
Hey, Mike is kind of a prick, huh?
I would answer yes to that. I am. Good. I truly am. Let's take a little break. I'm tired of this. The basketball thing is not going well. Jim Rich thought he was all hoity-toity and cool.
I'm just excited for whoever's going to be buying me steak and lobster.
Jim Rich.
I just hope it's not going to be me.
How am I going to get it?
I don't want to pay for that because, good God, I can barely afford it. I mean, look at the job that I have.
Yeah.
I can barely buy it myself, especially when they have that deal out at, the Outback where you can get steak and lobster. It starts at $14.99. If I have to pay $14.99 for three meals.
You would really do that. You would really go there.
Outback?
Yeah.
Yes, why not?
I'm talking big time lobster here.
I know you are, but if I'm buying, we're going to Outback.
I got to find out where Jim Rich is. This is not looking good for Star. Okay. Jim Rich is at number 31, right? 31st place.
Where am I? 29th?
39th.
Oh, damn. Funny. Where are you?
I just said so. Why do I have to say it again?
Look at the time.
It's
52.
Son of a bitch. I'm buying lobster and steak, it looks like.
Well, that is unless Duke wins. If Duke wins the whole shebang, then there's a good chance that I'm buying steak and lobster, so I'm rooting against Duke, unfortunately.
No question.
Cold Omaha next.
Cold Omaha, Tom Schreier, look out. Little Twins talk. Come on back, everybody. Hey.